morning's gospel lesson comes to us from the gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. And if you'd like, you can follow along in your pew Bible on page 43.
Hear now these words. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments: you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud. Honor your mother and father." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, "How hard will it be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything to follow you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come to eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, William. Alice was beginning to get very tired of sitting by her sister on the bank and of having nothing to do. Once or twice she had peeped into the book her sister was reading, but it had no pictures or conversations in it. "And what is the use of a book," thought Alice, "without pictures or conversation?" So she was considering in her own mind, as well as she could, for the hot day made her feel very sleepy and stupid, whether the pleasure of making a daisy chain would be worth the trouble of getting up and picking the daisies, when suddenly a white rabbit with pink eyes ran close by her. There was nothing so very remarkable in that, nor did Alice think it so very much out of the way to hear the rabbit say to itself, oh dear, I shall be late." When she thought about it afterwards, it occurred to her that she ought to have wondered at this, but at the time it all seemed quite natural. But when the rabbit actually took a watch out of its waistcoat pocket and looked at it and then hurried on, Alice started to her feet, for it flashed across her mind that she had never before seen a rabbit with either a waistcoat pocket or a watch to take out of it. And burning with curiosity, she ran across the field after it and fortunately was just in time to see it pop down a large rabbit hole under the hedge. In another moment, down went Alice after it, never once considering how in the world she was to get out again. And that, from your nods you know, is how Lewis Carroll begins his wonderful book, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. You know, there are two series of books from my childhood, and I would guess from your childhood as well, that came to mind as I thought about this scripture passage that William just read. One of these series of books is obviously Alice's Adventures in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass by Lewis Carroll. And the other series is The Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis. Because I am a child of the 1960s and 70s, I remember the Walt Disney film of Alice in Wonderland. Do you remember that delightful animated movie? Ironically, Walt Disney also brought this other classic story to life last year, The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Have you seen that movie? If you haven't, you really ought to borrow some kids and see it. It is truly amazing with all the computer-generated special effects, but it brings true life to that C.S. Lewis story. Anyway, both of these stories involve kids who find an entrance to another dimension. They find an access point into another world where things are very, very different. Alice enters the rabbit hole completely without thinking and meets the Cheshire Cat, Tweedledum and Tweedledee, the Queen of Hearts, and that amazing host of characters that inhabit Wonderland. And in C.S. Lewis's story, you may well know, Lucy Pevensey discovers a magical portal into the wardrobe that leads her into the land of Narnia. Lucy eventually pulls her siblings, Edmund, Susan, and Peter, through that wardrobe door into their adventures where they all fight the White Witch on the side of that good lion Aslan. Both of these wonderful stories find the protagonists entering a world where all bets are off, where things don't ever seem to be as they are, where the usual physical realities of our world don't seem to apply, where camels truly could walk through the eye of a needle. Jesus' words brought to my mind these fanciful stories from my childhood. But Jesus did not live in Wonderland, and he did not walk the paths of Narnia. And this story of the rich man is no children's story that can be ignored. In fact, for many Christians, this story that William just read makes us uncomfortable. Many pastors skip over this part of the lectionary because it's pretty hard to faithfully and truthfully discuss what Jesus meant. Quite frankly, it makes me uncomfortable because I recognize how far short I fall from what Jesus is asking of me. Jesus is calling this rich man to task. He's asking him to take stock of his life, to take stock of all the stuff that has cluttered his world. And Jesus is asking that this man sell everything he owns, give the money to the poor, and to follow Jesus. When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. The bottom line is that Jesus is asking each of us to make a real and difficult sacrifice in order to be like him, in order to have eternal life. There is no sugarcoating. This calling from God comes to each of us sitting here this morning, and this summons from Jesus Christ to each of us is hard to swallow. Yes, it's about stuff, and yes, it is about money. But we don't need to be embarrassed to talk to each other about money. Jesus never hesitated to face the issue of money head on, and neither will I. It costs money to be in ministry to God's people. It costs money to run Warren Village. It costs real money to have a church, to run this church, and to be a missionary people as we are. But if we believe that this story from the Bible is only about money, I think we miss the point. Giving of ourselves and of our financial resources is something we should do out of joy and gratitude to God. For most people in our society, if you went out on the streets of Denver or Aurora and you talked to them, you would discover that for most people, money is an end to itself. But for Christians, money is simply the means to the end of serving God.